Man, so guys, we're going to just get right into scriptures here. We are on part three of our Fruit of the Spirit series called Led by the Spirit. So again, a series on fruitful living, amen. So just to give a little bit of reminding you all, fruitfulness is not what we've made it to be in America, right? Fruitful ministries in America, lots of people. Amen. Right? That's what we think of. Fruitful ministries, big, lots of folks. That concept does not exist in the Bible. So I know I see a lot of folks nodding their heads, and that's good. We're catching it. Amen. If the ministry success was based on lots of people, then Jesus failed miserably. he felt hard. Amen. I mean, he started off with lots, and it was quickly down to 12. You know, and even one of those guys was a mess. So we got to get out of our mind that fruitfulness is making, even making a big impact outwardly. Can I get an amen, church, right? Like, you know, somebody's like, well, I've led 100 people to Jesus. Okay, you're not fruitful. That's not fruit in the Bible. Can I get an amen on that, church? Because you know what that makes me feel bad? Because I didn't lead that many people to Jesus, so I must not be as good as that person is. But fruit in the Bible, church, is talking about character. It's who I am, right? Am I a person who looks like Jesus, thinks like Jesus, speaks like Jesus, right? Okay, because guess what? If you're the person that gets 100 folks, leads 100 folks to Jesus, praise God. But that's not, you understand what I'm saying, y'all? It's about who I am. That's the fruit that God is looking for. Amen? Today we're going to take this Sunday, next Sunday, talk about joy, the second fruit, the second one on that list. We got love and joy. Amen. And first of all, we're gonna talk about joy really as an act of our will. Amen. Let's all say that together. Joy as an act of my will. It's an act of my will, right? So joy is not really necessarily, y'all, happiness. Can I get an amen on that? So let me, if you've never heard this before, please just don't get mad. We're way too early in the sermon to get mad about something. All right? But there's not a scripture in the Bible that says God wants us to be happy. It does not exist. There's also no scriptures in the Bible about God being fair. So let's just throw that one out there too. You know, my kids say, it's not fair. I said, well, good. You're learning. Praise God. You know, fair is where you bring pigs and eat, you know, lots of food. That's bad for you. Amen, right? So, guys, can we catch this? Let me just make this clear. It doesn't mean God wants you to be sad. Right? That's not what I'm saying. All right, but happiness, church, is so fleeting. Can I get amen, all right? Anybody ever having a good day, you know, things are just, all the stars are lined up and the planets have aligned and, you know, like it's raining but the sun is shining right on you and it's, you know, you're like whistling like the Sesame Street song or something. I don't know what's going on. You're just having a good day, you know. Sunny days chasing the clouds away. You know, I remember that, Brian. We're going to have Sesame Street on again soon. Praise God. Right? I mean, you're just having a great day, and then something happens, and your world just falls apart. In about 3 seconds, you go from, like, skipping, and, like, there's little bluebirds singing around your head, you know? And all of a sudden, it just pow, like, and you're mad now, right? So happiness is so fleeting. It could just boom. It's here, it's not. It's here, it's not. You know, I mean, buy a nice car. And then the first time you're in the parking lot, somebody, you pull up, and somebody opens the door, right into your brand new car, and now you're mad, right? Happiness, guys, is so like, But joy is something that the Holy Spirit produces in the heart of a believer, amen? And think about this, it's called fruit. Everybody say fruit. Fruit, anybody ever plant seeds in a garden and there's fruit in like one day? No. We even have, whose garden is it, bro, over there? So that's a little inside joke. If you don't know if you want to check out that little joke, ask these guys up front. Amen. So fruit, church, the point of fruit, the reason it's called fruit is because it takes some time to cultivate it. Can I get amen on that? We can experience things from God right off the bat. We can say, boom, we can start experiencing the peace of God. We can start experiencing joy, all these things. But all those things need to grow. They need to be cultivated. Amen. And you got to turn the soil over. You got to get weeds out. You got to get all the bunny rabbits and all the deer and all that stuff to stop nipping the buds every time little bud of joy pops up and the little rabbits want to run over and nip it out. You got to chase them out. Get your gun out, shoot at them or something. I don't know. Can I get amen on that? The devil is always going to try to be stealing your joy, stealing your peace, stealing your hope, stealing the things that God has put in you. I've got to be able to realize that and recognize what the devil's trying to do and rise up and say, no, that's my joy. You ain't taking it. Yeah? Take some time to cultivate it. Amen? Just think about this, church. You got the parable of the seed and the soil. Amen? You got the seed by the roadside. That's folks that won't even get in the game. And it says the devil comes and steals their seed. Then you got the seed falls on rocky ground. Those are folks that won't allow the Holy Ghost to plow up their soul. Can I get amen on that one? Right? Because you know what the Bible says about those folks? It says they receive the word with, oh, it's our word, ain't it, for the day. Joy. We're like Sesame Street, man. It's the word of the day. Joy, the word of the day. Right? Joy, right? They receive the word with joy, the Bible says. Same Greek word as we're going to look at in Fruit of the Spirit. Same Greek word. They receive the word with joy. They're happy about it. Man, church was awesome today. Wow, what a great word. I experienced the presence of God. God healed me. I cried. It was awesome. But the Bible says they go out in the world. The sun rises up and the heat comes down the thing because it's got no root. It withers quickly, right? These are the ones that receive the word with joy. And then when they go out into the world and they receive persecution and things come against them because of the word that was spoken, they quickly wither and fade out because they got no root. Is that the devil's fault or is it their fault for not getting their roots down? It's only the first group Jesus blames the devil for, church. Come on, man. Look at, what's the third? The third group falls on the thorns or what? The worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word. Right? So there's three things we see Jesus teaches what's going to mess up the word of God in our life. Man, if I'm going to sit on the sidelines, guess what? The devil's going to steal whatever you get. Got to plug in, man, right? Got to get involved, right? And I don't mean just in church. I mean fellowship. Build some relationships with people, man. Hang out with Christians outside of Sunday, for crying out loud. Get some folks that are going to tell you if you're wrong, right? Commit to some people. Build that kingdom mindset. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? I'm way off my notes already, but it's all good. I want you guys to think about something. I was going to bring this last week, but I didn't. But I'm going to bring it now. If you, as a parent, how many people are, you're definitely not a parent. You better not be anyway. Not yet. Praise God. Amen. But everybody, we got a couple teenagers in here, but pretty much everybody in here is a parent, at least spiritually, but we've all had kids or something, right? Okay, so think about this. As a parent, if you had the ability to never allow it was one single bad thing to happen to your kids, would you implement that ability in their upbringing? I'm glad you guys all said no. I'm waiting for somebody to go, I would. So you know what the newest thing is in our culture right now, church? You ever heard of helicopter parents? Right, those are parents that just hover over their kids all the time. You know, the new one is lawnmower parents. You guys heard this one? No. Lawnmower parents are parents that go in front of their kids and mow down every single problem and anything that would possibly cause their kid any amount of discomfort. They just mow it down so that their kids have a nice, they're like what, just walking on a golf course for their entire childhood, okay, which, oh my gosh, are you in for a rude awakening, bro, when you like go get a job or something? Oh, goodness gracious, what are we doing? Can I get an amen? All right, it's crazy. So look, if I had the ability, and I think we'd all agree this, if I had the ability to do that, right, like these unlimited resources, and I could literally just prevent every single, there's certain things I certainly would prevent, right? I mean, you know, I think to me one of the worst things is like when kids get, you know, really sick, the kids get, you know, I'm not even going to say it out loud. I want to say it out loud, but can I get amen? Like you see a little kid get real sick. it's just awful. You know, there's no reason for that stuff. Amen. But what we've got to understand, church, is that things as parents, my job as a parent, I've got, you know, number four coming pretty quick. I mean, my job is to get that kid as best as I can ready to go out and be a successful adult, right? Go to college, get it. You don't got to go to college anymore for crying out loud. I think college is a big trap of the devil. These kids are graduating with $200,000 of student loans, making $40,000 a year. Good luck paying that off. Yeah, it's crazy. It's my little soapbox about college loans. Amen. I think every dean in college needs to get a cut, pay cut. That's going live on Facebook. Y'all need a pay cut. You're making too much money. Amen. So anyway, church, here's my point. Look, you know what? I'm going to tell you this too. Just take this to the bank. This is just bonus. That there's predictions right now, not like prophetic predictions, but economic predictions that in the next 10 years that we are going to have such a lack of skilled labor in our country that people like plumbers, electricians, carpenters, these kinds of guys are going to be making stupid amounts of money. Supply and demand. Because everybody, I'm going to be a CEO. No, you're not. Probably not. Probably not. Come on. That's like, I'm going to be a professional athlete. Probably not. Probably not. Right? Like 0.002% of kids make it to professional athlete status. Come on, everybody. Like, let's get real about it. Amen? Come on. Look it. So what's my point? Just my point is we need to raise kids to be successful. I don't want my kids living home when they're 40. Man. I love you, but get out. I'm too old for that stuff, man. Come on. Right? So, church, our answer, I think we understand it. Our answer would be no. We would not prevent everything, right? Because, again, this, my real responsibility is to teach my kids to be adults, right? So, if we understand this as humans, can we wrap our head around the concept or the possibility that it's even a truth that God having the ability to prevent every single, he literally could prevent any bad thing from happening to me. He's that powerful. The fact that he allows bad things to happen to me is because he's trying to teach me something that I need to know to get where I need to go. Right? Come on, church. Anybody going through something right now that you wish you weren't? Look, pretty much everybody got their hand up. All right, let's just pray. I'm done preaching. I mean, we're just, just everybody lay hands on each other, amen, and let's just cry, amen. I don't know. But the joy of the Holy Spirit, church, is not about being happy. There is not there's not a single verse in the Bible that says we should be happy. I mean, I've had people ask me, doesn't God want me to be happy? I said, no. He wants you to be holy. And if you're holy, if that's your desire, be ye holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. If I am partnering with that work of the Holy Spirit in my life to bring me, holy just means set apart, church, that's all it means. It's not weird. If God says I am holy, that means he's different than anything else that is. That's all that means. Right, so when he says to us, be holy, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Holy. Right? If we're Christians, there's certain things we should just not be doing, y'all. Man, come on. Right? And I'm not even going to talk about that because that's for a whole nother sermon. Praise God. Right? But man, we got the churches nowadays like doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Man, read your Bible. Should we celebrate this? What does the Bible say about it? End of discussion. Thank you. I got one person like that. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. See, church, joy is a state of being. It's a state of mind. It's my mind, which is part of my soul, right? Mind, will, emotions. Okay, you know how you get depressed? The first thing that hits you is a thought in your mind. That's how depression starts. That's how anxiety starts. That's how anger starts, right? Anger is something hits you, a thought hits you, and boom, it sets something off. Can I get amen on that, right? That's why the Bible says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Is this thought a good one or not? It doesn't say I can never get angry. It says I got to control myself if I'm angry, right? It doesn't say, it says outbursts of anger. If this guy does something, I get angry. I can't kill him for it, even though I want to. All right? He might even deserve it. But I can't do that if I'm being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I got to get a hold of myself. And at that point, I got to be really careful what I'm saying. Because I'm agitated. I'm feeling all right now, bro. Yeah. Can I get it? You guys, are you tracking with me? Right? The Holy Spirit, will, if we allow him to, if we allow him to cultivate this fruit, that he will give us the ability to look at something that is ominous, it looks foreboding, it looks fearful, and it looks out of control. But there's this, all I could think of was feeling. It's such a stupid word. I can't think of another one. But there's just something in me, can I get any mentors, that just goes, you know what? It's all right. Okay, it's all right. How about y'all, any of y'all seen Forrest Gump? Right? Life is like a box of chocolates, you know? But the particular scene I think of whenever I start preaching on this stuff is the scene where Lieutenant Dan, you know, Lieutenant Dan, you got new legs, magic legs, right? But they're in the boat. That's my boat, my shrimp boat. And they're in the boat, right? And there's the hurricanes going on. Lieutenant Dan's up in the crow's nest, right? And he's screaming at, he's basically screaming at God, okay? I mean, he's angry at God because his legs got blown off, whatever, but he's screaming at this hurricane, and he's going, is this all you got? And he's, right? Praise God. So, church, I bring this up because, look, it's like this is what the Holy Spirit's trying to get in us. Something comes at me, I've got a, there's a strength that God's going to put in me that I can look at no matter what it is, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what my bank account looks like, no matter what my relationships are going on, no matter what's going on with my kids, I can look at it and say, is this all you got? Is that all you got? I was picturing like, I wrestle with my kids a little bit, like arm wrestle, you know? I can't, Madeline's getting a little strong. She can actually put up a fight now. I realize I got to start lifting weights again because it's getting scary. I beat by a girl. any parents ever done this with their kids? Like, Dad, you know, Dad, let's wrestle. And so we grab arms and you say, and they start and you're like, all right, you going to start yet? And they're going, oh, and you're like, go ahead, bro, start. I'm good. Okay, man, you going to start yet? Go ahead, start. At church, I'm telling you, that's what God is trying to get in us with the devil bringing stuff at us. Like, are you even started yet? I don't even know what you're doing. Because we're so strong in our spirit, there's this joy that's in us that's inexpressible and full of glory. Full of glory. What? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We're just going to read this one section today. Preach the whole rest of the morning, like 2 hours, three. Praise God. Hebrews 12. And I already got a scripture for next week. We're going to take 2 Sundays on this. So lots of stuff. Church, I tell you, if you look up joy, man, just word study joy in the Bible, you'll have a long study. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Does it say, look at what church says, run with endurance, right? Another spot the writer says, what you need now is endurance, right? Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Notice it doesn't say our faith. It doesn't say that, church. Our is added. That's an added word. If you read, like King James says, our faith, a lot of translations say our faith. Our is added in there. That word is not in the Greek. Right, Jesus is not perfecting my faith. He already perfected faith, and I'm tapping into the faith that he's already perfected. Faith doesn't need to get fixed up. It's done. That's what it says. He's the author and the finisher of faith. He already finished faith. Faith is a finished tool that Jesus made for us that I got to grab onto and implement into my life. Right? Do you see that? Important to see that, church. I'm telling you the truth. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him. Everybody say this with me. For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right, so let me just touch on another section of scripture real quick here that kind of mirrors what's being said here, all right? It's in Philippians, I think it's chapter 4. It's either chapter 2 or chapter 4, but it starts off by saying, be like Jesus, or be like Christ is the subtitle in this section. And it talks about in verse 5 or whatever chapter this is, I think it's verse 5, it says, have the same mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who did not think too highly of himself, but took on the form of a bondservant, or became humble and all these things, right? And it says that he became obedient even to the point of death and death on a cross. Amen. And the next verse is the really important one. It says, for this reason also, God gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he alone is Lord. Amen. So church, I read this years ago and it caught my attention. For this reason also, right? Do you guys got up there? No? Okay. Saw y'all looking up there. For this reason also, it's in the Greek, all the words are there. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He says, son, Jesus... So Jesus, prior to his resurrection, was not the name that's above every other name. Right? For this reason also, God gave him a name that's above every other name. Right? So meaning before his obedience to the point of death, his name was not the name above every other name. He was still Jesus. He was still healing sick folks. He was still casting demons out. He was living life as you and I can live life on earth, right? As spirit-filled sons of God. Amen. Do you understand? But the transcendent name of Jesus, the name that makes every knee bow on earth and under the earth, in heaven, on the earth and under the earth, right? Angels, man, demons, right? Every tongue will confess, that name was given to Jesus when he was obedient to the point of death. That's what the Bible says, right? And two things that are really powerful about it. The Lord said to me, son, because that whole discourse starts with, have this same mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if he's wanting me to think the same way about myself as Jesus thought about himself when he laid his life down on the cross, that means that I can receive the same power and the same reward for dying to myself as Jesus got for dying to himself. Amen. Is that good, church? For the joy set before him. See, the reason that we got church and Christians are so full of sin today, we don't want to talk about sin, we don't want to talk about dying, we don't want to talk about all this stuff, because it's not popular, don't fill seats, amen? We want a good, nice, bless me message that makes me feel good and gives me goosebumps and tells me how wonderful I am every single week, no matter what I'm doing. Okay, look, Jesus loves you, man, okay, but for crying out loud, you know, Well, I love Jesus. Really, let's talk about what are you doing in your life biblically that shows Jesus that you love him. Because you know what? If I just say that I love my wife, but I act all kinds of ways that says I don't love my wife, then she's going to believe what I'm doing, not what I'm saying. That's the truth, y'all. Amen. You know, the Bible does not say this. We're just preaching good today. Amen. Because Jesus loving you doesn't get you into heaven. Come on, man. Jesus loving you doesn't fulfill any promises in your life. Jesus loving you does not heal you. Jesus loving you does not do all. There's all kinds of stuff that you don't get just because Jesus loves you, because Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves the child molester. Jesus loves the rapist. Jesus loves the serial murderer, whatever you call those guys, right? Jesus loves everybody exactly the same. There's people doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but Jesus loves them. The issue, church, is to receive the love of God, to get saved, to get Jesus into my heart, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and start becoming like him because of his love for me. The way that I show Jesus I love him is I start being like him. Right? That's how we do it, man. Is that good? And somebody got a Bible. I gotta borrow a Bible real quick. I'll give it back, I promise. I won't steal it. I just got to back up. I can't. I was not going to back up. Thank you, bro. I was not going to back up, but I got to back up. Guys, back up into chapter 11 just for a minute. Just a couple verses. I got to show you. This is so good. So chapter 11 we call it the Hall of Faith, right? You guys ever heard that? So chapter 11 is all like Noah built a boat, Moses did this, all these guys, right? But if you look at the last two verses of chapter 11, it says this, and all these having gained approval, look at that. We don't like that in church today either. We got to gain approval. Amen. All these having gained approval through their faith did not receive what was promised. Now, isn't that depressing? How many people want to sign up now? Let me be a Christian. I don't get what was promised. Praise God. But he's not talking about us. He's talking about them. Right? Now look at the next word. Everybody say because. Because God had provided something better for who? Who's us? Us. So that apart from us, like 2018 Christians and sons of God, they, meaning everybody that's died before us, for the sake of the gospel, they are not going to be made perfect until we grab on to what God has for us to do. Do you need this back, bro? You're going to make it without it. I lost your spot. You can find it. Praise God. Thank you. Do you guys see this? Right? Look it, you got to understand something. We have an old covenant, a new covenant, but there's one story, man, okay? The story's always been redemption. The story's always been Jesus. Every single vision in the Old Testament, Moses saw it, Joshua saw it, Noah saw it, Isaac, all these guys, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these guys, all they saw was Jesus, man. Everything is pointing to Jesus. So all the promises they received were pointing to what Jesus would do on the cross. That's why they didn't receive it when they died. All these died without receiving the promise. The promise is Jesus. They died before Jesus came, right? So now the fulfillment of the promise is after Jesus came, which is us. So we can grab all the stuff that God told all these guys, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all even Lamentations. There's some decent stuff in that book, for crying out loud. We can grab all these promises and bring them to today into the Holy Ghost and say, yes, every single thing God ever promised is available to me. And when I grab onto it as the us part in here in Hebrews 11:40, what I'm doing is fulfilling every promise God has made. It's perfecting the work. Do you see it? Apart from us, they will not be made perfect. We're the ones completing the promises of God. Do you see it? That's really important for what I'm about to say. Amen. So the great cloud of witnesses, church, that it says in Hebrews 12:1 is all those guys, right? Millions of them. They're all in heaven looking down on us saying, go for it. You can make it. You can do it. They're waiting. Come on, guys. Right? It says, then we get in verse 2, though, we have some instruction on how to run this race, how to go after these prizes. Amen? It says fixing our eyes on Jesus. This phrase is one word in the Greek, and it means this literally, to look away from all else at. To look away from all else at. To fixing our eyes on Jesus. Look away from all else at Jesus. Right? Isaiah says like this, when you hear a voice behind you, you know, look left or right. You know, if you're going to look, you're getting distracted, look left and right. You hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, right? You're going to hear this little prick. Don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't listen to that. Don't watch that. Don't go there. Don't spend time with those folks. Man, come on. The Holy Spirit can tell you don't spend time with certain people. Can I get amen on that? Right? Do you see it? The writer says that the first thing we need to do to run this race with endurance, to go after these promises of God, is that we need to look away from everything else and look at Jesus with our physical eyes and with our spiritual eyes, to fix our gaze on him. Amen? Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Here we have our word of the day. Fireworks explosion, the word of the day. Ha ha, yes. And joy. And we have to see that there's a secret here in how to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit when we're facing something that could easily steal it. You're going to see this in a second, guys. You're going to like it. How many people, let's raise our hands again, have gone through something that you did not feel particularly joyful about? How about since 10 o'clock? Nobody should have your hands up because we've been in church. It's been awesome. Amen. But come on. Probably today. I mean, I bet if we're honest, some of us woke up this morning and just got something that's just on us, man, right? Can I get amen? And it's just heavy and it's weighing on us. And we're just, oh, man, I wish this would just end. Amen. So I'm not in church. Look, I'm not. Joy is not doesn't mean we can't cry. That is flaky religious garbage. Come on, man. Look, you can be joyful and still cry. Right, man? Right? It's being real with Jesus, man. If something's on you and you got to cry, just cry. Let it go. The Bible promises, Psalm 57, I think, that not a tear that you shed, God will forget about it. Not one. It says he catches them in a bottle. I think it's Psalm 57. Amen? He says he catches every one of your tears in a bottle, and he's going to pay back every tear you've ever shed. Isn't that good? God sees it, man, right? So the joy of the Spirit is rooted, church, listen to this, in who God is. The joy of the Holy Spirit, this fruit of joy, is rooted in who God is. Because the devil is going to come at you with everything he's got to try to convince you that God is different than who he says he is. That was started all the way in the garden, man. Can I get amen on that? 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about strongholds, amen. But it talks about strongholds, and it says, you know what a stronghold is? It says it's speculations and lofty things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Not against God. It's against those speculations, those thoughts. Speculation is a conclusion. That's what that word means. So we look at stuff going on around us and we build a conclusion. We like doing that stuff. Can I get amen on that, right? We love making conclusions about stuff. We love, it's called assumptions. We all know what happens if we assume things. Donkeys get in the mix. Can I get amen on that? And so what happens, church, but you know what we have to be careful is building a conclusion about something in our lives based simply on a season. I'm going to say that again because it's pretty good. We need to be careful to build conclusions about our lives based on a season of our life. Right? Season, just a season. Can I get amen? If somebody visited New England in about a month, they'd be like, man, I'm never coming back here. Well, you're like 2 months late, man. Right? Come a couple months ago, it's beautiful, right? Come in the summer, it's nice out, right? All these things. But if they based Connecticut and taxes, my goodness gracious, who voted for that guy anyway? Man, come on. Listen, I'm just going to say this. I don't care, Democrat, Republican. Why would you vote for somebody that promises they're going to make taxes go up? Why would we vote for that? Put all the other stuff on the shelf, man. Come on. I want to pay more taxes. Yay, sign me up. Man, praise God. We love taxes in our church. Praise the Lord. Amen? Do you see it, church? Well, look at joy. I'm going to get in trouble getting back on the Bible. I was just saying that people don't like taxes in Connecticut. That's all I'm saying. I got no problem paying taxes if they'd start using it better. Praise God. That's all I'm going to say about it. Oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble. The joy, this joy, as do all the other fruit, draw their power, if you will, from God's unchanging nature. So, there's like in Malachi, not the tithing part. Don't shut down on me, everybody. Somewhere else in Malachi, it says, I forget what it is. Actually, it's right before the tithing stuff, so it's pretty good. Anyway, it says through the prophet, the Lord says this: I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore, Israel, you are not consumed. You know what that verse means? If you didn't catch it, it means, does God get angry? For sure. Okay, for sure. Absolutely. Right? Though your anger lasts for a moment, your loving kindness will last forever and ever and ever and ever. Can I get amen, church? God is saying, look it, the reason after all these thousands of years of you being such a train wreck that you're still here is because I don't change. Can I get, church, are you tracking with this, right? Man, how come I've messed up so many times in my life and God still loves me? Because he says, I'm the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed. I can put up with all of your garbage and all of your mistakes and all of your stupidity and all of your rebellion and all of your failures and all of your falling in the mud. Even after I told you there's a mud puddle right there, go around it. And you said, I know what I'm doing. And you fell right on your face in the same mud puddle again. God says, I am the Lord and I do not change. Therefore, O church, you're not consumed. So God is saying, my nature is kindness. My nature is patience. I am long-suffering. I am good. I get angry, but I'm not angry. I will take vengeance, but I'm not a God of vengeance. Do you see it, church? It's important. The fruit of the Spirit is based on who God is. And the Holy Spirit comes into and takes residence in us, bringing the nature of God inside of us. That is how the fruit grows, because the who God is in here. You see it? They're rooted in the promise that God will come through at some point in due season. Amen. We talked about that Tuesday night. You got your own due. I got plenty of due to deal with on my own. You just put up with your due because you got some due in your season, and when your due season's over, God's going to come through. So just deal with your due. I'll deal with my due, and we'll be all good. D-U-E. Don't think crazy stuff. Like time. Amen. That's all I'm talking about. Amen, church? You see it? What enabled Jesus to press through the cross was the promise on the other side of the cross. I heard one guy recently saying that if we really believed that we were eternal beings, we would live life differently. If I really believe, church, that I'm not from here and I ain't staying here, then I would live life differently. I would not get so worked up about everything that didn't go right down here because I'm not from here. Right? I'm from heaven, and I'm going back to heaven as long as I know Jesus. Can I get amen on that? Right? The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see it? Yeah? I have to build my life on the promises of God. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of the Spirit will give me strength to overcome. It will give me strength to endure. It will give me strength to persevere and keep going when everything is telling me to give up. Did Jesus feel joy on the cross? Did he feel joyful while he's being whipped and beaten? Did he feel joyful even in the garden as he prayed that the cup of suffering would pass? Probably not. But his focus wasn't on what he had to endure. His eyes were fixed on the faithfulness of God to bring him through what he had to suffer. Yeah, there's actually scriptures in the Bible that almost promise us that we're going to suffer. It's almost a guarantee. Amen? I mean, the chance, Jesus even says, anybody that wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Look it, I praise God that we live in America and our persecution's not too bad. You know, the worst thing happens to us is we tell somebody, you know, at Starbucks about Jesus and they tell us to take a hike. I mean, that's pretty much the height of our persecution in our country. Can I get amen on that? All right. I mean, most other countries around the world, folks are going to jail for talking about Jesus, or worse. See, I've always looked at this passage, and there's one thing I've never really understood, and it's the phrase that he despised the shame. Do you see this? Look at this phrase with me, church. It says that he endured the cross, despising the shame. And as I was putting this together this week, I really felt the Holy Spirit said, son, that's the key. The key to joy and having that joy, even in the midst of trial and hardship and circumstances, that Jesus despised the shame. And I've always read despised as like this very active negative emotion. Can I get amen, right? Does anybody despise anything, like a particular food or something, you know? Like, if Missy says, I'm making Brussels sprouts, I go, oh, man, you know, Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts at all. I don't care. You can wrap those things in chocolate, man, and there's still Brussels sprout in the middle. Okay, I don't know what's going on. Can I get amen, church? It's like I've always thought of despising as this very like active, negative emotion, you know? Like I've got to invest a lot of energy into it and I've got to, you understand? Like, oh, this is really angry and I'm, But I looked at the Greek word and here's, the Greek word means something completely different. It means to think little of. To think little of. To think little of. And I read that and I went, oh my goodness, man. Despising is really a bad word. I don't know why they translated it as despise. Some other translations say disregard. That he endured the cross disregarding the shame. But the Greek word means to think little of it. You know, as soon as I read that, this is what I heard in my spirit. Ain't no thing. Ain't no thing. Ain't no thing. Right? It's like if something like go back to that arm wrestling, you're a little kid. You know, are you gonna start yet? Come on, man. You know, I'm falling asleep over here. There are kids that they're going to town. Like, it ain't no thing. I got you all day. Psh, I get you in my sleep. Psh, got you. Right? Church, see, we look at shame, we're like, oh no, not shame. I don't want any shame. Oh God. But Jesus was like, whatever. This is just part of the package. Ain't no thing. I got this. Because he says, you know what? Because what God is going to do when I get through this is going to make this look like nothing. Paul says that the momentary light affliction that I might suffer now will be nothing in comparison to the glory that will be revealed when Jesus comes back. Can I get amen, church? I think what I'm saying right now, we're done. I'm going to preach just a little bit. We need to stop focusing on the problem and start looking at the promise, all right? We need to stop getting so hung up on the predicament and start looking at the promise. We need to stop crying about the pain and know that there's a promise in it. There is no pain that God's going to let me go through without there being a promise on the backside of it. That's the joy, is my joy is hooked on the promises of God. Man, that was an awful storm. Church, I can't imagine. I see folks lose kids, their little kids get sick and die. I cannot fathom that, man. Cannot fathom it, how painful that would be. But you know how you can have joy right in the middle of that is say, you know what? There's a promise that's bigger than that pain. There's a promise of redemption. There's a promise of restoration. There's a promise that God will make it right. Amen. Let's stand up. Was that good? I had a lot of build up for that punchline, but I thought that punchline was pretty good, wasn't it? Lord, we thank you this morning that Scriptures promise us, Lord, that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, Lord. Father, I ask for grace right now, for just grace. There is no promise, Lord, in your word that I'm never going to suffer. There's no promise that I'm not going to go through something that is just devastating. But there is a promise that you are faithful. There's a promise that says that you will never leave me or forsake me. There's a promise, Lord, of the fourth man. Even if I get thrown into the fire, the king looks in and says, well, there's a fourth man in there. Come on, church. Jesus was in the fire with those three men. And the Bible says when they came out, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Father, I'm praying right now for the joy of the Lord to rise up in us. The confidence. I just feel like it's not an emotion. It's a knowing in my spirit. It's like I've got a battle, but I know I already won this battle before I even started it. I go into it joyfully. I go into it with confidence. I go into it almost like arrogant a little bit. Like I'm just like, this ain't got nothing on me. Father, I pray for anybody in here this morning or anybody who's listening online, Lord, that if they are in the midst of something that's just awful, that they're just weeping every night, crying themselves to sleep, Holy Spirit, we're asking for joy right now. Because the Bible says weeping will only last for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Anybody who's in a night season right now, Father, where they just can't see nothing, it's just dark and confusing, Jesus' name, we're asking, God, that a morning would come and that they would be awakened to your joy. Because as we know, the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, we thank you right now. We ask that this is a week that we will experience your joy in greater dimensions, not because we're working harder at it, but because we're tuned into it better. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We will be gathering for prayer on Wednesday at 7:30. Anybody's welcome to come out. We'd love to have you. Other than that, God bless you guys. Have an awesome week.